Hey. Who is that saying hey with me?
It's your favorite mom.
Okay, y'all. Welcome back to I'm In Control Podcast. This is the Charity E.
I am June Speaks.
I'm Misha.
I am Janae.
Yeah, and we're back with another banger, you know? We're going to talk a little bit about, you know, this and that. But let's start with what's most important is I got COVID again. I got it for the second time.
Not right now, though.
Yeah, no. I don't have it right now. But I got it again.
I thought it was the third time. I think there was three. And I think it was just counted one.
I remember.
She doesn't want to say it, but she's...
It hasn't been three times. But, y'all, we were really trying to record, but I came down with the COVID. But you know what helped? The vaccine.
That vaccine.
It really did help. Mm. But y'all really didn't care about me this go around. Y'all didn't bring me no food. Mm. Like, nothing was going on.
No, because she was saying, hey, look, everybody, I'm good. I'm fine. I don't even feel like, did you have any symptoms?
Yeah, I was really tired. I was extremely tired. Yeah,
that was it.
Like, I was at work, and after work, we all went to dinner, and I felt like I was going to fall asleep right there.
Oh, that's how bad it was.
Did the people at work know you had COVID?
Yeah, I told everybody.
Oh, you had to discuss.
It's not like it's an STD, Mom. Like, not weird.
Okay.
Anyway,
because you're outside often.
I just want to know that you do the disclosures.
I stay outside.
Well, that's good. That was very honorable of you to tell the people. Okay.
I try to do what I can do.
I'm so glad because you were scheduled to have family night with us for your birthday. Mm-hmm. That would have been a hot mess. We had babies, grannies, aunties.
I followed my spirit because y'all were really trying to get me to go.
I thought you were trying to be funny. I was like, you ain't tired. And then Monday she's like, I have COVID. I was like, I'm glad you didn't come, girl.
Yeah, I was exhausted.
But that was her third time, y'all, because she outside.
Well, anyways.
Take care of yourself in these COVID streets. While we're talking about that, y'all, COVID's not over. It's still alive and well. Make sure you're still doing that. Wash your hands. Keep on doing that. Can y'all do that? Can y'all just put on the mask? What's wrong with it?
Since outside, you know, like everybody thinks that COVID's over and it's not. Like everything is really, honestly, it's kind of back to normal. So I've been to a Mavs game. I've been to a concert. And it's kind of weird to realize that nobody was outside, like, for a whole year.
Nobody.
None of this was happening.
Right.
So I went to the J. Cole concert, and it was packed. But thankfully, I was in a suite.
And guess where I was?
I don't know. Where were you?
I was on the floor.
You look like you had an obstructed view, though.
No, baby. You know who I was there with and how I got there.
The shade between sisters.
I was behind the camera. Let me just say that. Okay.
Well, I mean, okay, so you're on the floor at the J. Cole concert, right? Like, how did you feel being around that many people?
I only felt safe because we really were in the VIP section. So they only allowed, I want to say, like 50 of us on there.
Okay.
So that's the only reason why I felt safe. And we were literally behind the soundboard. So it's barricaded and you have to have like all these wristbands on and stuff like that.
What got to do with COVID?
No, I'm saying there was hundreds of thousands of people
like, how did
there.
You feel? Yeah.
Like, I felt fine because I was only around 50 people. Well, so even, I wasn't around all that.
Even like non-COVID related, this kind of goes into like what happened at the Travis Scott concert. I think it was 50,000 people
upwards of 100,000 people. Because they said some people snuck in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So at Astroworld in Houston, let's say it was 100,000 people. It's like 50 to 100. That's a lot
in between.
Yes.
But I don't know how I would have felt going to something like that. So I was watching TikTok, and this lady said that she was hired to do security. This lady was a normal, she was like us.
Right.
And she was hired to do security. Mm-hmm. Like her husband, her nephew.
You're talking about me doing security.
Right.
Like us.
Oh, okay.
Legit.
Like us.
Okay. So she got a phone call. They were from Dallas, and she said they all drove to Houston. When they got there, like, there were no signs. There was no, like, where to go, what to do. And then finally, they realized, like, it's normal people during doing security.
Mm.
So she thought they were going to be checking bags, like the people at the state fair. You know how they don't really be doing nothing.
Right.
But they wanted these normal people to secure the premises. So I think that had a lot to do with why
everything went out of
control. Yeah. But, I mean, do y'all think that it was Travis Scott's responsibility to make sure that safety protocols were, you know, in effect probably.
I think it's his security team responsibility. So he's the entertainer. He should have a business manager. He should have an administrator. He should have an event coordinator.
He has all of those things.
Those are
it's Travis Scott.
Yeah, those are their responsibility.
Yeah.
And it's not his responsibility to me as the artist to say, did you do your job?
Right. Okay, let me interject there.
Okay.
Because I just know, just because I actually watched it and watched the show or whatever, and I went back and looked at the YouTubes and different angles. He has a whole team, right? Travis, I think, you know, where he takes the blame is because he did not stop it. He stopped it once. And again, I've watched several different angles on YouTube. He stopped it once. He also incites a riot. That's just what he does. He encourages mosh pits. He incites riots. And I honestly don't feel bad for him. I went back all the way to 2014. He's always done that. He's worked at a club that I did back in 2015. He incited riots at that club. He wants you to fight. He wants you to be crazy. He wants to see blood. At 2 o'clock that day, he tweeted, I want a feast tonight.
I don't feel like he wanted people to die.
No, I don't think he wanted them to die.
Like he should have taken responsibility. But he could have taken responsibility. Yes. But I do have sympathy for him.
I have sympathy for him, but he should have stopped. You know how many people jumped on that stage and told the cameraman and they told them to get off? They said people are dying. And as they said that, which really they made into a meme now, but as they said that, Travis is like, hey, y'all need to stop. And then he's going, yeah, yeah.
He was probably dying. High.
And this man is singing. Imagine your last breath. You hear Travis Scott going, yeah.
But I mean, it was probably high.
Okay, I'm sure.
Not to excuse him.
I'm sure.
But
yeah.
He was I'm probably sure. impaired.
But then people have died because of this show.
Nobody left there thinking they were going to die, but you knew you were putting yourself in a bad place.
Well, they're
so
used
everybody
to,
has to take
risks. So they're used to that show, but I don't think, I don't know. I wasn't there, but I feel like there's
a lot of standing room only clubs.
It is.
Like, this is not something new. They've been doing this since Michael Jackson back in the day
and
in
nobody
Tokyo.
Died. Yeah, nobody died.
But the people would pass out. It's not the people's fault. It is the city's fault for not having proper crowd control measures in place.
HPD.
It's not necessarily HPD. It's the fire department's job to handle crowds and crowd control. And so that's why you saw the fire chief speaking on behalf of that. They should have been well coordinated, whether that was Live Nation or whoever the promoters are for the event. Mm-hmm. It is their responsibility to handle crowd control.
Exactly.
That was not the first concert they've ever put on. Live Nation's been around a long time.
A long time.
It's just not Travis's sole responsibility.
No.
As a whole, it's whoever was coordinating the entire event. Yes, people are just thinking, I go to concerts all the time. Okay, we go to concerts.
Yeah.
What responsibility do we feel like we have? We just go, we're going there to have a good time.
Right.
So, yet, should you bring babies or children to a standing
it
only
said all
event.
Ages,
no.
But still, I would not have taken them to a track. Especially if you know the history of his shows.
What can you do? Those people were just thinking, oh, my son's going to have a good time.
Right.
They didn't know it would be chaos. They're expecting it to be a professional event.
I only say Travis only because I feel like he could have stopped it. People are saying, oh, he's so high up. Again, I work in this industry. Yes, it's lights, but you do this. You can see, people dying on that first second.
He don't see people dying.
He sees people trampling and stuff like that. But if enough people are getting up there and telling the cameraman, there's too many people in his ear.
Right.
He has earphones on to say, stop the show.
Right.
And you don't stop the show. So no, it's not Drake's fault or anything like that. But I feel like Travis is part of the blame. And of course they're attacking him because he's the bigger name. He's attached to Kylie Jenner. He's Travis Scott. It was his show. So they're going to go after the person that's on the rider, that's on the ticket.
Right.
And then it trickles down to HPD, who was taking video cameras and pictures 9 minutes after those people were pronounced dead. There's videos. Did you see that, Charity?
But think about
there's video footage of HPD still recording, like the audience.
But think about lack of communication. So when you're
so much
no,
going on,
but when you're in those situations, your cell phone doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
So what communication could they have had? Just
right.
because something is
radios.
Happening on the, we could be sitting right here right now, and somebody literally around the block
mm-hmm.
could be going through trauma. We don't know,
right?
Because it's not in our vicinity. So some of those people are not necessarily responsible. You don't know what type of communication protocol
Janae,
they had in place.
They didn't have radios. The lady said, the security lady, she said nobody had radios.
That's why she said it was weird in the beginning. That's negligence.
She said in the beginning that they were like, oh, you're not going to have cell service, so call your family and let them know you're here, but you're not going to have any cell service. And
that's their problem.
Yeah. So they had no radio to figure out. And then she also said that when the people realized that they were the security, they just started leaving or they started enjoying the concert because they were like,
they can't do anything.
Yeah, we didn't sign up for this. Right. We're not prepared for this.
Right.
So I think it's everybody's fault. I'm going to blame Travis. I'm going to blame Live Nation.
Right.
I'm going to blame
the city. Yeah, everybody involved. I'm going to blame the people that were trampling and kept partying as they saw that people were dying.
They are
high. They're the reason that they're dead. I know, but I'm going to blame them too.
But they're impaired. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we are expecting common sense from people who are impaired, not to even think about the how people were getting pricked with an unknown
needles and stuff.
Substance. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of chaos going on. The show in itself was thrown together. That's apparent.
I'm going to go back to, we still in COVID. Let's not do all of this foolishness. There was too many people in that space that is too close together. Y'all do all the audience. We all got to take responsibility and look at what we are about to encounter. And y'all
count up the costs.
Count the costs. Before you do something, just stop and count up the costs. Yes, people now got to get paid money because they're going to blame this person. They're going to blame that person. But what about you? What would make anybody want to go and stand this mom there? Like somebody do this.
It's their favorite entertainer. Well,
that and they're younger. They're not.
It's a young audience. They're 20s or kids.
There were some old people out there.
It wasn't that many.
It's mostly kids.
It's like, I would say 25, maybe 30 max. 30 to like 9.
Yes.
It's like kids that go.
That's
that
the demographic.
So who's thinking about COVID? None of those people.
And they're on meth. They're on heroin, on coke.
She have them out there, girl.
They're
right.
I mean, this allegedly. But they were high.
Okay, just as recently as last night, I've seen all these people dressed up. I was like, where are all these people at? The margarita ball was just as packed.
Yeah. Did they have it last night?
They had it last night, it was just as packed as if there was no She's switching her stance. Which just as packed, no mask, they're like right next to each other, like pre-COVID. My whole thing is like, we are now, we do have to be responsible for ourselves and the choices that we make. But there is some level of expectation of security. So, I mean, that is, again, backtracking, going back and saying that is on Live Nation and everybody else. But I think
I think, you know, what he did a good job at, and it might not have been him, but his marketing team, they did a really good job at the bait and switch situation. So they made it seem like it was going to be this fun environment, kid-friendly, because they were promoting it on, like, video games and stuff.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So they had people thinking it was going to be totally different.
Right.
And in all actuality, it felt like
chaos.
Yeah, very much chaos. But speaking of bait and switch, let's go ahead and transition into that, because bait and switch happens all the time relationships, shopping, jobs.
Jobs, yeah. For sure.
If y'all don't know what bait and switch is, Misha, if you could enlighten the people.
Okay. Bait and switch is the action generally illegal of advertising goods which that are an apparent bargain with the intention of substituting inferior or more expensive goods. There are honestly like 18 different definitions for each situation. It also can be a common deceptive sales practice that advertises an item for sale to entice customers to come to a store. Once a customer arrives in anticipation of the discounted item, he or she is told that the item is not available and is directed towards a more expensive alternative. And then there's different levels of relationships and people and stuff like that.
Yeah, how would you put that in layman's terms for relationships?
For relationships,
False advertisement.
I'm gonna help her out. You start dating, the other person is excited about you, they clam up, or suddenly they want to see you, or they don't want to be in. It's different things. So a guy could present himself to be like romantic and sweet and believes in chivalry and all these things, and then he gets you and he's a complete jerk. He's a complete opposite.
Has this happened to you?
Oh, plenty of times.
Oh, take us there.
Plenty of times.
Let's give us a quick Misha moment.
My left hand forefinger is still bare because the bait and switch. But no, I've dated guys that like knowingly just like hanging out with them. I'm like, okay, he's cool, he's sweet. And then you get with them. And like for me, like when I was really, really, really heavy into the nightlife promotions, they know, like, either they met me there or they knew that that's what I did. That was my bread and butter. Mm-hmm. But then once they got me, it's like, oh, I want you doing that more. right. I, you know,
they acted like they were comfortable with it.
Like, you was okay with it when I was dating you, but then when I became your girlfriend, it's like you're comparing to stripping. You're basically saying, like, right. oh, you're out till 3 a.m, you're around men.
Right.
It's a cash cow business. Da, 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 da. And like, but you knew all of these things. You know, this is my business. Like, this is my business.
Right.
So then once they got with me, they wanted me to be Susie Homemaker and have a 9-to-5 and all this stuff. And I'm like, that's not who you met. And right. I'm not changing it. I'm not about to eat off of you. You also weren't volunteering to pay my bills. So, you know. Huh. Yeah, so that's happened to me in regards to my business and my career. And then it's happened to me in regards to men portraying to be one way, because I would, like mom has told me over the years, and I've grown and still growing not to be like this, giving out too much information.
Right.
Basically telling them I want a godly man, I want a Christian man. Basically, I don't tell them those things. I let them show me. Because if you tell right. them, they'll be a chameleon
right.
and they'll...
Right.
They'll transform into what I wanted. So now I'm like, I'm just going to see who he is.
Because right.
me telling him or putting it on Instagram or on my social platforms, they're like, oh, that's who she wants. So I'm going to become that. And right. then I get with them and they're not that.
Right.
So.
Interesting. I was going to say, well, Kamisha, in you're saying that the men bait and switched you.
Yes.
Did you bait and switch them?
Ever. Think about it.
I can honestly say, again, I get this from mom. She always said that she told dad on their first or second date or whatever, look, I don't cook and I got 3 kids. Like, those are the 2 things. Like, these are my non-negotiables. Like, this is what's, it's not changing. So I never lied. I'm like, oh, I can cook, knowing that I will burn toast. At the time, I've gotten better. So I don't think so, just because I feel like I am an open book and I do talk a lot. And if somebody wants to know something, I have nothing to hide. So I would just, I don't think I did. I don't know. That's a good question to ask maybe ex-boyfriends or good guy friends. Yeah, but I don't right. think I did, because most of the time I would meet them in a business type of situation. Like, my office is just different. It's not a school. It's not a bank. It's not corporate. So they would see me in the limelight. They would see me at work. You know, most people won't gotcha. See you at your job. Mm-hmm. Most people that I met and dated, they saw me at my job.
Gotcha.
Because my job is outside. You know what I'm saying? So... Mm-hmm. I don't think I ever, no, if they ask, like, well, can you cook? I'd be like, well, can you build a house? Oh, those, I've always been like that.
I've always been like that.
Really? I've always been like that.
Who can build a house?
I mean, can My you change? The,
yeah. Okay.
Period. Bing, bing. Granddaddy did and did. Build houses and churches and schools.
Houses, well, church, airports. You know, so, can we continue?
Yeah, so, you asking me to, like, I'm not I Love Lucy.
So
I'm not.
So, mom, but, this is something mom and I have spoke about before, mm-hmm. where we see in relationships, or this is going to sound so bad, but for the most part, we've seen women kind of let themselves go, not because y'all, they didn't have a baby or something like that, or sickness. We're talking about they present themselves as a dime. Okay. When they with this dude. And then afterwards, they ain't combing their hair and brushing their teeth
right.
and throwing on some oversized sweats, talking about accept me as I am.
Right, right.
Well,
right.
The thing that I always say, women become frumpy.
Mm-hmm. Right. And after they get married.
I go back and I look at the wedding picture. Mm-hmm. I look at the dating pictures. Like I go for receipts.
Right.
So I go back. I say, okay, you're one. Okay. You're two. Okay. You're five. You are a totally different person. I don't even know you. Let me say this. And men are attracted. Visual. They're visual. And we as women have to understand that they're visual. Before they see your heart, Christian women.
They see your butt.
They see you. So they're not just looking at your heart. The first thing they look at, oh, she's so pretty. Oh, she's whatever it is that they love, they see that in you. And then they get to know your heart.
Okay? Right, right.
So be honest.
And then you switch that. I was recently listening to Steve Harvey, and he was doing his motivation talk. It was very good. And he said, I still like pretty women.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He said, but this is how I learned control, because it's only one woman. Her name is Marjorie. But when a pretty woman passed me, he said, I say, Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I just keep on walking. He said, you know, that's my accountability. He didn't die. His eyes didn't go away.
Right. Yeah.
So if your husband was attracted, one of those things was to your beauty and the way you presented yourself to him while you were dating. And you're one, it was five. You're two, it was 10. You're three, it was 35. And what kind of pounds?
Okay, because somebody help me, because I was like, I thought that felt like this was a math problem. Yeah.
No.
What's the sequence?
No, it was good. It's gonna be pounds. And then it's just going into a frumpy look. I love Lucy type of person. I love Lucy. And there was this scene, and I'll be done with this scene, that the women, the wives, couldn't keep their husbands in the same room with them when they would come together as couples. Mm-hmm. The men would go off in the kitchen. The women would stay here. They tried. And then here come beautiful Diana. She came in with the single guy. And the shape was right. The dress was fitted. The hair was different. The fragrance was there. And those husbands, the single friend took the girlfriend into the kitchen to meet the married men.
Right.
They came out that kitchen and stayed.
Right.
Because what?
They had something to look at.
Visual.
And some
look at. This was an episode of Lucy?
Yes, Lucy. It was happening in the 50s. So what the women, the wives tried to do, they tried to go to charm school. So they went and found fitted clothes. Did their hair
so this
way,
has been going on since the beginning of time.
It's men are visual.
Yeah.
And all I'm saying is stop with, like Janae said, accept me as who I am now. It's okay to change and evolve. But y'all, try to stay true to what you sold
and
to him.
For the record, everybody gains weight for the most part.
Oh, yeah.
So we're not talking about you know, sometimes you gain weight, you've had your child, whatever. But the whole thing is losing yourself in that thing. You know what I mean? Like, I've definitely gained weight when I first got married at 22, you know, life happens. However, what do I look like?
Right.
Am I combing my hair when I'm going to, or am I putting on a bonnet?
Right.
Going to the grocery store?
Right.
I can't stand it.
I know.
Am I walking out the house with pajamas and no bra, you know, doing all these things? And that's how I'm presenting myself to the public. Is there ever a time where I'm put together? No, you don't have to look like that every day, but it shouldn't be once in the blue moon. But then you like, he not looking at me, and I'm not taking the responsibility off of men to behave properly. But if they are coming to you out of love and say, hey, baby, let's go work out.
Yeah.
Don't take it. Oh, you think I'm fat? But yeah. He's coming at you saying, hey, baby, let's go work out. Or, hey, baby, I'm going to give you some money. Why don't you go get your hair done, your nails done? And instead of looking at it as a negative, as a criticism, it's constructive. It's kind of like, okay, let me try to get myself back together. Let me get back to center and then start fresh. But I see it for me visually. I feel like I see it a lot more with women. Now, I do understand women take on a lot in a relationship, you know, especially if there's a lot of kids and things like that. But I've seen some women who keep it together, even in the midst of all of that. They still try to make a point to like, let me go get my hair done. Let me look like someone when I step out the house.
Right.
Those type of things. So it's just, we're talking to a select group.
I think y'all are spending a lot of time on like a physical feature. Yeah. Okay. Like physical features. But before we move on from physical, mom, you've been married the longest. Did you ever feel like you had to like go to sleep with makeup on put a bonnet on? You know what I mean?
No, that's not what we're speaking of. Some men are prone to, they do like those types of things. There are times that you're going to have, you're going to be, have this very sensual, sexual look, but that doesn't have to be all the time. Some women do it all the time because that's just who they
are. That's just who they are.
You know,
right.
To me, out of the group, I think Misha is the more one that says, the pajamas has to look like this, or you know, the gown has to, the necklace has to be here.
Go to Walmart,
but I know, but I'm just saying, I think she would be more of the one that would think, bed attire.
If I had a man,
I think
robes,
she would be,
that.
Yeah, right. I think that will be her vibes, but no, my husband doesn't, he never required that of me, so that's not what we're talking about. I'm just talking about men really like eye candy.
No, I get
they
that.
They like a girlfriend, they like a wife. But they still want you to be their side chick.
A woman in the streets and a freak
in the sheets. They do. They want a wife.
But they
want
a girl.
That can that can present herself and be responsible and be take their soulmate, right, and all that, help manage the house, manage the children, right, the dog, whatever.
It's a lot being
and
a woman.
Then you mm-hmm. come back, they want a side chick.
Yeah.
Wait. I'm gonna stop you right here because I feel like we're going into the rants that right. a lot of pastors do, and they only speak to women. So ooh, let's yes. move okay, over yeah. okay. to not physical features, right. but as far as men doing the whole bait and switch.
Yeah, okay.
What do you think that, we'll start with Janae. What do you think that they're doing?
So this is going to be my rant conversation. Oh. You know, what is it? I'm no therapist.
Go ahead and introduce the segment, Janae.
So I'm going to start this segment with saying, I am no therapist, child, but he's a narcissist. Mm. And mm-hmm. I think that is where men do the bait and switch, is they hide their narcissistic behavior. So, you know, a lot of my information comes from the encyclopedia of TikTok, right? But I have been seeing this whole thing about people, not just men, but we're specifying men in this, who love bomb. So mm-hmm. it got me intrigued to like what that is. So there is this thing called a narcissistic abuse cycle. And it starts with love bombing. So that can be what Kamisha just spoke to a few minutes ago. I'm going to act like I go to church. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be there all the time. I'm going to buy her gifts. Like gifts, I don't know you, but I'm flying you across exactly. the country. I'm taking you to Paris. I'm exactly. buying your favorite fragrance.
You're getting whatever flowers it is, every day.
You're getting all this yes. time. I'm answering every time you pick up. Mm-hmm. I'm FaceTiming at mm-hmm. night. Mm-hmm. You know, different things like that. But then what happens is we, as the woman, we get used to that behavior. Mm-hmm. And so then they go to the next stage mm-hmm. is where they devalue.
Right.
And they gaslight. And so basically for people who don't know what gaslighting is, for layman's terms, this guy comes over, he's acting as if he's jealous, right? You know, your skirt is short, this. And you're like, no, this is just how I wear it. But he's like, no, you're trying to entice another man. Mm-hmm. You're trying to do this. And you're like, no, you're trying to control me. But he is trying to tell you that his behavior has nothing to do with him. His behavior has things to do with you. Right. So it starts to make you second guess what it is that you're doing. You're not wearing the short skirt to entice men. You're wearing the short skirt because you like it. Because
you look
but
good.
But now he's right. trying to convince you because the man across the street looked at you that you were trying to entice, but you weren't. You were just like, I'm just walking right. down the street. So that happens, but it can happen in smaller things. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you didn't call me last night. Oh, yeah, I did. Oh, you just didn't know. Oh, you were asleep. You must not have heard the phone. Like, it's just different things mm-hmm. to get you to rethink, am I crazy?
Right, exactly.
When you really are going with your intuition, so then it's devalued. So then you're like, oh, my God, I have to change me. Mm-hmm. And then you go from there. And
they're
then
projecting,
from,
basically. They're
but it's just a way of control. So yeah. then what happens, what they do is they discard you. And so they stop answering your call. They go mm-hmm. ghost. They get quiet. They pull their emotion. So then at this point, if you don't break the cycle, you're begging. You're like, please, what did I do? I could change. And then that's how they keep you in the loop. But what happens is if you do break the cycle, they go to this stage where it's called hoovering. Not hovering. It's actually hoovering. And what they do is they'll call on your birthday out the blue. Now you ain't heard from them. You pulled your energy. They remember, oh, you know, you said your daddy came back on this day from out of town. You hadn't seen him. And that was the anniversary of y'all getting back together, whatever the thing is. And they call on specific dates. They just say, hey girl, what you doing?
Oh, I was hoovered.
Yes. It's stuff like it's like that. And so it's kind of like they give you these insecure apologies. Like, oh, I won't do it again. You know, it was my bad. I was tired. My bad. And so if I have noticed that in my life, I have dealt with narcissistic personality types. And so then I had to go through this to figure out, do I have any of these tendencies? I don't believe I do. Are there ways that we can improve? Of course. Right. But I feel like men really be playing this, not all, but a lot of, and we as the woman, because let's take Kamisha, for instance, she's actively looking to be in a relationship or whatever. If somebody sees that and she's, you know, they're like, they're going to play on that.
Yeah.
And then you, because you want it so bad, you might give in and be caught in that same cycle.
And let's just say that I'm not, because y'all know if I really wanted a boyfriend, I'd have one.
And let me just say this.
I think, Jeremy, you missed. But if I really wanted one, I'd have one. But I get to your point where if you are posting, because one of my married guy friends told me this, if you're always kind of posting about wanting a boyfriend or wanting a husband or something like that, you might attract the wrong guy. You know what I mean? Because they're like, oh, she's desperate. Right. But then once they get to know me, they're going to know that's not the case. So, you know.
You might not have come across the right one, because people can, you know, handle you. They people can know what your weaknesses are, and they can really take advantage, is what I'm trying to say.
I've been there.
Of your insecurity.
Yeah. I've been there before.
Yeah.
But I think now I think I'm at that level of spiritual discernment to know he not it. That ain't it. I can tell by a phone call with a guy. I'm like, that ain't it.
See. Men still call you? No, men don't call. They will text.
Oh, in this day and age, yeah. I'm just a little bit older than you, Charity. So,
so can I ask my question?
Age bracket for men? Yeah, they call.
Okay. Yeah, my question is, in this texting age, how do you guys even really get to know one another through just someone continues? It's like a pen pal to me.
I hate it.
It makes no sense to me. I, even with my friends, it's like I have some friends, I don't know if it's been recorded and they're texting back, but I can literally send a text and a response is back, but it's two paragraphs. And I'm like, how did you
write
there? Oh,
they're voice texting.
Okay, yeah. That's fine, but that takes so much energy. Then a phone call. What is it about us that now everybody is so busy that we don't have time to hear voice-to-voice conversation? I'm not talking about if it's an answer to a question or where we're going to meet.
No, I get it.
I'm talking about if you want to talk to me, that's not for me.
Well,
to
bring it into the bait and switch conversation, I feel like the people do texting because you can hide more of yourself.
Right.
Like from them if you're not like on the phone or FaceTiming.
Yep.
So you can, what are you doing, people to death?
Yep. Yes.
You can act like, I literally saw this on TikTok the other day when it said, when the guy I was dating asked me what I was doing, I said, oh, I'm at the zoo. She was really laying in the bed.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's easier to like almost like make a different life.
So you're lying. Yeah. Somebody lying. You said, what's going on?
I think it's a way of controlling time. Like, okay, I don't have time to be on the phone for an hour, so let me just shoot back this quick text as a response. But I do feel like I'm of the generation where I need you to pick up the phone.
Yeah.
We can go back and forth a little bit, but it's all this elusiveness and not being able to tie someone down and not being able to hear their voice or even see them on FaceTime. Like, that's too much. Like, do you really want to do this or not?
Right. And so this is my thing. I am like what Charity was saying, you can hide who you are. Like, I am the person, and I'm just very direct and very blunt, and I sometimes need to work on that. But I am who I am. But I don't put laugh out loud at the end of a conversation if I'm not laughing out loud. If I said something, I don't try to soften the blow and be like, but laugh out loud. Like, why did you call me last night? Why didn't you call me last night? I don't add laugh out loud or a smiley face because I'm not smiling and I'm not LOLing.
Right.
So, period. So I think a lot of people, what she's saying is, they might feel a certain way, but through a text, it's like I can soften the blow with the LOL at the end or a smiley face or like a, you know, whatever, like an emoji.
Yeah.
But I'm a person that uses their words. I even teach my goddaughter that. She's 3. Use your words. You know what I mean? So I don't add laugh out loud if I'm not laughing out loud.
So how do you get to know someone if all this person wants to do with you is just text with you?
You don't get to know them. And you set up. So if you're really in a situation where you're trying to find a relationship and you're just not just dating around, then I would cease all communication. Mm-hmm. Like, you're wasting my time.
Right.
You're literally talking about nothing.
I'm not sending you novels all day. First of all, we're busy. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have
to. It could take 5 minutes and call. Like, I'm how's your day? How's it going?
But let's bring it just not from dating. because even if you're married and all you do is text one another and you sit in the same house and you're sitting at the same table at a restaurant, I see people do it.
They're not texting each other.
I be at restaurants and I promise you, they be across from each other and they have phones and either they texting each other, they're not texting each other,
Mom.
Or they're scrolling the other.
That means they just don't feel like talking to each other.
They're uninterested. They should have stayed home.
They should have stayed at the house.
So with that being said, I remember you said you and Dad went out for y'all's anniversary like earlier this year. And remember you called and was like, I watched this couple across from us and they were on their phones the whole time.
The whole time, not talking.
So my best friend Jana, we get into it all the time. If it's just me and her, I'll like be like, can you put your phone in the middle? And we do this phone roulette thing. And I'm like, whoever touches the phone has to buy the first drink. Because it's like, why are you with me on your phone the whole time?
Oh,
don't be with him then. Or don't be like, that is, why are you with me?
That drives me.
She always says, oh, it's our slight age difference. Cause I'm just like, if we're hanging out, but I'm on my phone,
then
don't
I'm
be
uninterested.
With that person that you're on the phone with. You know what I mean? So that's the only thing that me and her will ever like go back and forth with. Because I think that's rude. That means, am I boring you? Like,
no, I just think people are addicted to a phone. And I think that relationships have gotten to their,
you gotta be present.
I think they're nonverbal. People we're losing our communication skills because you got so many couples that really don't have anything in common. They really don't talk to one another in the house. They may talk at one another, but we're not talking to one another.
Right.
So I think Cherry said, you've been married, it's almost 35 years coming up in February. 35 years. Did I do a bait and switch? I would say I didn't, because I was very honest with Mark. I said, if you want children, because I had three when we got married. And I said, if you want children, got to have it before I'm 30. That was number one.
Right.
Like, there was no hidden things. We got to have them by the time I'm 30, because I'm not pushing out any babies after 30, okay? Mm-hmm. Then number two is I don't cook. I don't clean.
Don't do the math, because she don't get mad. If the math ain't mathing.
I was like, I don't cook. I don't clean. I'm not trying
to
learn.
But I still got this ring.
It wasn't not clean.
Well, we're singing a song.
I understand, but I don't know what it is. Whatever.
It means worship and praise.
Worship and praise.
It doesn't.
I don't wash windows, is what I say. It's because there was a show called Hazel. And she was the maid. I said, I'm not going to be
basically, she said, I'm not that. She went, hey, maid. I see you with your maid outfit on like you always do.
I can get a sense. I'm a big girl. And he was fine with that. He said, I cook. My mom was a chef, so I know how to cook. My husband has cooked for 35 years. They call him and ask him what we having for Thanksgiving and Christmas.
He cooks everything.
It doesn't make me
feel.
It doesn't make me feel anything less. And I'm going to say this to all the women out there, that maybe not be your forte. Don't let other women make you feel like there's something wrong with you, because you are not
who they are. Right.
My sister is Susie Homemaker. She cooks, she cleans, she scrubs. What is that?
The baseboard.
Yeah. She gets on her hands and knees and she'll clean her floor. And that, she loves it. That is not June Evans. June speaks. I'm a fixer.
She'd rather pay for
me. I'm Olivia Pope. I fix problems. I fix situations. Girl. That's what I do. Hey, look, come on now. You know I am.
But our friend to the show, our cousin Kia, hey girl, she's the same way. Not that she can't cook, but God gave her a husband that cooks for her.
Right.
You know what I mean? So on holidays or they just celebrate their anniversary.
Yeah.
So on holidays and stuff like that, her husband Reginald is cooking. But she provides what she brings to the table.
Right.
And she didn't bait and switch Reginald. Because I've asked him this. He's like, I knew your cousin couldn't cook. And she still got that ring.
She put in a business.
Well, I'm just saying. So, ladies, if that's not what you do, but you're like, I know how to get this bread, though. I know how to bake bread, but I know how to go get this bread.
Oh.
Whatever it is that you bring to the table, just be honest. Because once you get him, you have to keep him that way.
Is there a way you think people can spot when, you know, like
somebody lying?
Can you spot that?
I feel like you can. You know,
red flags.
You have to acknowledge the red flags.
Mm.
God has given women intuition.
Mm.
And we be like, something just ain't right.
The red flag
him.
Be looking orange.
Yeah, but we
it looks like Six Flags.
Yeah,
it looks like Six Flags.
But we always
discount and be like, oh, Lord, give me a sign. He give you a sign, be like, oh, that wasn't it.
Yeah, he'll change. Oh, he'll change. I no, can change
we
just, him.
We literally overlook it.
Yeah.
Because we want it to be that person.
So bad.
Not to say men don't overlook red flags, too, because women can do the same to men. Oh, I like kids. And then he got a kid and you get over there and you treat his kid horribly.
Yeah.
But you want him to be a great father to the child y'all have.
Exactly.
So it's kind of, it goes both ways. But I feel like the first thing is acknowledging red flags.
Yeah.
So mom, you're a mentor. So are, when you, I don't know how to ask this question. When people come to you and bring up things, do you tell them that is a red flag, or are you like, oh, you're overreacting? You know, like, are you able to help people spot discrepancies?
Absolutely.
In stories or people's lives?
Absolutely. We kind of walk through scenarios, and then I get them to a place of understanding that is the hugest red flag. It's like a signal light. It's red. It's not green. It's not orange. It's not yellow. That's red. If your expectation was this, if this is what they said they were going to do, and this is what they did, that is who they are.
Believe him, child. Period.
You got to believe him the first time.
Right.
And that's the same thing with baiting and switching. I even say that in parenting, right? So you tell this person you want children, but you really don't want kids. Ooh. And then you get these children and you mistreat these children. Are you miserable? Are you, you know, be true to yourself.
Right.
So that is the goal. Even when people come as, you know, young women or men say, hey, I want to be married, but I really don't want no kids. You need to tell them that.
Right.
You need to say, I don't want children. You know, we can have fur babies.
Yeah.
You know, but I just never been to kids. Oh, I think I can just make him want a baby. Or I think she's going to want a child. This one over here has always said, I don't want children. I say, you sure?
Hold on.
But
she's hold changing, on. She's changing. Holy Spirit, activate. Holy Spirit, activate. So let me clarify that. Okay. I always say my husband is watching.
Okay.
So again, I've said this before, because of Rain and even Elijah, my nephew, but because of Rain, because I'm with her the most, my goddaughter, she might be, honestly, her parents know this, so it doesn't matter. She might be the worst child. I think she's bad, okay? But
She's three. She's
a lot. She's a lot to handle, okay? So because I can deal with her, she's taught me a lot about patience, and I'm kind of like, I can do this. I've always said the older I've gotten, I don't mind being a stepmom. I was kind of past the phase of like, do I have to give birth? You know what I mean? But I'm cool either way. If I meet a guy and he is the love of my life and he doesn't have any children or his kids are older and he's like, I just want one more, then I would entertain it because I don't want to speak from a place. No, I don't want to speak from a place.
Child, look at that.
I don't want to speak from a place that I'm not in yet. I'm not in love with anybody. I'm just, you know, dating, but I'm not in love with anybody. I'm not engaged or anything yet. So I don't want to speak of a place from a single person. Again, this is growth. I'm speaking from a single woman, like, oh, I don't want no kids, but then I meet the love of my life. I'm like, I want to have his baby.
Like Jeannie Mai?
Yeah. Like Jeannie Mai. Yeah. And she really helped me with that. You know, the Hello Honey YouTube. Yeah. And she talked about that. The first 10 years with that man, with her ex-husband, she didn't feel safe to have a baby with him. But within a year's time, she felt safe to have Jeezy's baby. So I'm in a space where I don't mind being a stepmom. You can't have five different baby mamas.
Right.
But I don't mind being a stepmom because I do love children. And I don't mind having at least one kid.
Oh, well, you got, I could have a grandchild.
I mean, you already have five.
I mean, you give me four?
She had five.
That's passed, but you have four living grandchildren. But
this
I mean,
is
you
the best don't have Christmas present. Oh, mom.
Girl, I ain't pregnant. Don't be putting that on my ovaries. I'm saying I don't mind him. I don't mind if you have other children, and if that's something that you want, that if I am madly in love with you, I might.
I would hope if y'all are married, you're madly in love with the person.
I might push out a baby for him.
So,
but,
so you're going to be a bonus mom.
I don't mind being a bonus mom.
You don't mind.
Right, I don't mind that because, I mean, Rain is really like, I'm like, oh, I want one. Not like you, but I want one.
You sound like it's a dog. I want one.
That's what people do. They fetish size babies. But that's another conversation.
If I could jump in when Cheris asked me as a mentor, can I just say this to all of us? I don't care if it's parenting, if it's business, if it's spiritual, if it's relationship, if it's friendship.
Oh, girl, you gonna give all of them?
Yeah, because I want people to understand. you need two people in your life for the rest of your life. You need a mentor, and you need a counselor. They're not all the same. There are some things I can help people get to a point of, and there's some things that within internally that they need to see a therapist. And we have a cousin that's a therapist, and she's always said a therapist need a therapist. So right. they have to talk to somebody. But you cannot walk through life without debriefing life and doing checkups and having accountability partners.
Right.
Your frat brothers and your sorority sisters, or your sisters at church, you know, and all that type of stuff, and your brotherhood, that's good. But are they holding you accountable?
Right.
Literally, are they holding you accountable? So those are two people that has to consistently be in your life. And mentors shouldn't come and go. Find you one that you trust and have a... I remember Pastor Carter saying this. He's our pastor. And he said for 2 years, he went to see the former pastor of Concord Church every Monday for 2 years. Mm-hmm. Because he was mentoring him into a new place.
Right.
And then, of course, Dr. Bailey passed away. So just know that your mentors are there to help you just kind of pull things together, think things through, unpack certain things. But then there are certain times you got to go let some stuff go. There's a lot of people that still grieve in relationships, right? There's a lot of people still have unwanted desires in their life that has not yet been fulfilled. Doesn't mean it's not going to happen. There's a lot of people, I think our relationship is normal. I'm finding out it's not. I get so many people say, oh my gosh, I love the relationship you have with your daughters. Some people don't even have
a relationship with their mom.
At all. There's people who don't speak to their mother. There's people their mother just don't understand, or they don't understand mom.
Right.
They just have no relationship. So we think things are normal.
Right to us. Yeah.
Right. Right. So you don't know what the person that you're dating, that the person you think you're about to marry, the person you entered into a business relationship with. You really got to just watch all of those things and make sure there's a couple of things. Do they have a mentor, a business mentor, a spiritual advisor, a counselor? Those are three things that I think that is very important in a relationship.
There we go.
Well, that's great. Well, now that, you know, the holidays are coming up, I think we should, you know, give a little bit about what we're thankful for. I mean, how do y'all feel about that? No? Are we thankful?
I am very grateful. You know, I realized...
It's show winning season, girl.
I had to sit back the other day, guys, and... literally, like Tabitha Brown. Oh, God, I thank you.
Yeah.
Because I saw a meme the other day that said, take time to realize you right now are living in a season of your previous prayers. Mm. And when you sit back and think, I've been through a lot. And not to say that nobody else has, but just when you've gone through storms and trauma and all of those things, when God starts to open like the floodgates, you really have to stop and take time to say thank you. So I'm going to say it publicly. I've already said it privately. I thank God for everything that he's done. That's in the relationship with my family, with my children, my work, you know, my finances, just all the different things, because he really has opened up the door for me. And these are times that I've prayed for. And I'm in it, child.
Yeah.
Misha?
God didn't kick down the door for your name. I'm thankful. Like, I set this on my birthday. It's, like, always a time of reflection for me. So, and my birthday was just last month. So, I'm just thankful, you know, that I'm here, that I'm above ground.
Right.
And one song that I listen to often, at least once a week, because I'm old school like that, is Millions Didn't Make It, but ooh, I was one of the ones that did. And that, you know, when you think about it, like the lyrics of the song, they really are talking about you made it over, and that can be right. You made it to heaven. A lot of people thought they was going to make it here, but they didn't. Right. I take it in present day time of, like you were saying, you've been through trials and tribulations,
right.
And whatever your trial and tribulation is,
right.
You could have lost your mind,
yes.
You could have killed yourself,
yes.
You could have... things could have happened.
Right.
You could not be here. So when I get to that low,
right.
Lowest of the lows,
right.
I'm like, millions didn't make it. And
right.
That's what keeps you going. That's what keeps you fighting.
Right.
And so that's what I'm... I got a little choked up.
Oh, she getting choked up?
Not choked. Like, no. It's like a swallow wrong. But anyway, see the devil. But yeah, millions didn't make it. And so I just see, like, with COVID and knock on wood. Actually, I don't have to knock on wood.
No.
I am blessed
right.
that I have not had COVID. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, I've had it 3 times. So I'm blessed that I haven't. I am vaccinated. I am double vaccinated. And I am crazy about my vitamins. Y'all know this. Crazy about my vitamins. I feel like I take care of myself. And so I'm thankful for that. You know what I mean? Because a lot of people have
strength.
Yeah. Life, health, and strength. And, you know, a sound mind. A lot of people have lost their lives to COVID, right. You know, in this last almost 2 years. So. Right. I'm thankful. Millions didn't make a child.
So we're going to say, we're not going to firmly say she never had COVID because a lot of people have had it and they just didn't know. Because granted, when I found out I had no idea.
Yeah. Right,
until I actually went and got tested. But we love that for you and Janae.
I love that for y'all. I love that for
me. June, what you got?
I'm grateful that my mom is still with us. Mm-hmm. She's 80 and just wrote on my son's post that congratulations on your book. But I have one too.
Oh, that's funny.
Granny's what, 82?
No, she's 83.
One of the two.
She's 83. She congratulated him, but she tooted her too. So I'm grateful that my mom is still with us, and she's just a joy, and that she's asking for Bob wigs and saying she wants a boo. And
yes.
She's just a whole lot of fun. That's all it is. It's a whole lot of fun. And of course, I'm grateful for it. I've been married, y'all, almost 35 years. I have a husband that I feel that loves me. Mm-hmm. Like, he will jump over the moon in the world.
2 times.
Okay. That he really does love me. Mm-hmm. And I just appreciate my husband more than anything. Like, if there's nobody but just me and him, you know, sometimes the kids get a little wild out there, and we're like, it's just me and you, boo. It's just me against the world. So I'm very appreciative of that. I'm so thankful for my children, all of them. I'm thankful that for 5 weeks I didn't know where one of my children was residing, if he was alive or dead.
Ooh, yeah.
And that was very stressful for me. And he gave me a phone call this past week and just left me a message. And you know what? After that, I was fine. You know, it's your life. You got to live your life the way you are. I continue to pray for you. But that was very strange. So I'm grateful that my son is alive. And all my children are good and healthy. And it is it's a good dysfunction over here. We really honestly and truly.
That's what we call it.
We really love one another. We enjoy spending time together. So I'm grateful for all my children. My grandchildren are amazing. Like, amazing. They're kicking butt. I have a 7-year-old, though. He's waking his mother up very early.
With Halloween costumes on.
So he's a great 7-year-old. So that's what I'm grateful for. I'm grateful for family.
I'm grateful for family. Okay, Charity?
Yeah, so I feel like if y'all have watched the podcast for a while, y'all know I am the most direct and not. I don't do this lengthy stuff. They just did 30 minutes of what they are. Like, they could have wrote that down and said affirmations at home. But really, I very cut and dry. I'm just grateful for the year that I've had successfully starting my business, jumping into kind of like same 9-to-5, but different. It's going to stretch me a little bit. Right. So really, I'm grateful that I am willing to stretch myself and challenge myself to figure out how I can be better in the future.
There we go, girl.
Yeah. There you go. You go, girl.
Yeah.
What are y'all grateful for out there? Why don't you write in the comments what you're grateful for during this Thanksgiving season? And of course, all honor and glory for me goes to God.
There we go.
Because we couldn't be in this thing without God.
Jesus is the reason for the season.
Can we not skip Thanksgiving?
No.
Well, it's the reason for all the seasons. It's the season of life. For us.
Celebration, Thanksgiving.
Have y'all noticed, before we conclude this, have y'all noticed that most people, even people who just seem very, you know, grumpy, have y'all noticed that they change during the holidays?
Wait. I'm sorry. What?
Have you noticed that people, even people who are grumpy people, that normally during the holidays, they just get happy. Like, they have their demeanor. Everything's changed about them. They're smiling. They're saying hi. And, you know, they're joyful. It may be, but it's something about the holiday season that people really stop. People who don't give tend to want to give, right? Not just give to me, but they want to give. They want to smile. You know, they'll answer questions that they typically wouldn't answer. I just noticed that people's personalities change.
And sometimes they become grumpy.
Okay, y'all, thank you for tuning into this episode of I'm in Control podcast. Please, if you haven't already, subscribe to our YouTube, I'm in Control podcast. It's an N, not I-N. I'm in control.
There we
and
go.
And then also follow us on Instagram. Can we show us our Instagram?
At I-M-N-C-T-R-L-P-O-D-C-A-S-T. I'm in control podcast.
Yeah.
That girl can spell.
I am the charity.
I'm June Speaks All Day Long.
I'm Michelle 8, but before we say who this is, I do have to give a shout out to Dame.
Is he sponsoring?
Yes. No.
Girl, I ain't seen a dollar.
No designer today. I'm sweatshirting it. This is a black owned business. So thank you. Make sure you check out my boy DAME on Instagram.
Make sure you hit us with some of them details. Yeah,
right. I am Janae, and we will no longer be doing free promo.
Thank you.